It's that time of season again, when we survivors momentarily turn from thoughts of cannibalism and focus on holiday cheer. You're shocked you managed to survive another year, and quite frankly, so are we. And with the nuclear winter holiday just around the corner, that means it's time again for Jonathan's post-apocalyptic Christmas carols to keep you warm while you hide from the giant mutated scorpions outside. And if you enjoyed the original album and still aren't dead, you'll be thrilled to hear about the newest edition, Jonathan's Post-Apocalyptic Christmas Carols Volume 2. This new volume is packed with everything that makes you actually believe that the Christmas spirit didn't die with the other 98% of the world's population. New hits like Raiders That We Heard Get High.
Raiders we have heard get high, they call themselves the Fiends by name. It's not just some clever try, they literally inject jet to their brains. Holy crap, one just gouged his eye out. Hold on a sec. Weren't these guys in Borderlands too?
Or the Christmas carol, Good King Wenceslas, sung with the new alternate Cold War lyrics.
Stalin and Khrushchev looked out at the eastern seaboard. They knew with one button press they could wipe out Maine to Newport. The U.S. said good luck with that, now stop being such a tool. Khrushchev threw a tantrum then by parking nukes on Cuba.
These are the songs that will bring joy to you even while you hide desperately from slavers who will likely sell you off to the steel mill up in the ruins of Pittsburgh. Songs like Here Come the Death Claws.
Here come the Death Claws, here come the Death Claws, right down Tranquility Lane. There's nowhere to go, nowhere to hide, 'cause they took out the Northwest Gate. Sirens gleaming, children screaming, everyone's frozen with fright. You may as well bend down and kiss your butt goodbye, 'cause two just appeared on your right.
Nothing brings the feeling of the holidays like these new Christmas hits that are sure to bring warmth to that empty civil defense shelter you ran to when the sirens went off that you now find has become your own personal prison.
Pacing around my fallout shelter, been alone and I'm not fine. I'm the only one here who survived the bombs, and I think I've started losing my mind. I swear a can of beans over there on that shelf spoke to me and called me by name. He said I need to go put a lampshade on my head, which means I've obviously gone insane. You would have a similar hopeless feeling if you heard voices calling, kill your parents. I tried to cover my ears, but I can still hear it. I'm banging my head on the shelter walls. Isolation's not been good for me. I'd say I'm bailing this place, but that can of beans threatened to stab me if I tried to leave.
This new volume has all you need to ring in the post-apocalyptic New Year. Hits like It Came Upon a False All Clear, Rusty the Hitman, Do You Fear What I Fear, Grandma Got Mauled Over by a Yaogwai, and many, many more.
Being trapped in a sewer with mutant frogs, Do You Fear What I Fear, getting chased by some weird enclave robot dogs, Do You Fear What I Fear. I had this dream the town's attacked, and I forgot to put on pants. Everyone stops fighting, points at me, and laughs. My fear has never recovered from that. God help ye peeps of Megaton, it's not a personal attack. Tenpenny gave me a penthouse suite to blow your town to frack. It's not my fault you built your town around a still live bomb. Press the button and now your town is gone. Oh, come on, I should have made them do that scream from Wrath of Khan.
So wrap up in that thin emergency blanket and open a new can of Spam and break out the hand crank record player with Jonathan's Post-Apocalyptic Christmas Carols, Volume 2. It's the perfect way to ring in the season this year, because there's no telling if you're going to live to see another one. To find out if this offer is available in your area, check and make sure your postman isn't dead. Please do not listen if you suffer from depression or anxiety. This offer not available to mutants with more than two legs, people who have psychotic tendencies, or anyone who listens to country music.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 48th episode of Through the Aftermath. And here we are, not even a year after the last episode, which is pretty good for us. You know, we have enough supplies to last us for a long time in this bunker. And here we are, you know, doing another episode. We got enough of that tape, you know, that tape, the magnetic tape that we've been recording on, that it deteriorates after a while, so we have to use it up. So here we are recording another episode, and this one is going to be a great episode. It's going to be a wonderful episode, that is, if you're able to actually hear it. But here I am. I'm Sean Schuster. I am your host, along with my other host, Jonathan Morris. How you doing, Jonathan?
Sorry about that. I was looking through this telescope at that planet that seems to have gotten closer over the last 2 days. Speaking of why we haven't talked to them for a while... yet we've been sort of, distracted watching this. You see that out there? It is getting closer, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know what that was. I thought it was
first I thought it was. I was actually hopeful it was the Death Star, and then it wasn't because it got closer. And then I was like, "What is that?" And then somebody's like, "It's the planet. It's going to destroy us." And I was like, "Oh, is that all?" Well,
There's one thing I do know is it's no moon.
Yeah, that's no moon, and it's not a space station, which is essentially like my childhood died at that moment, and then I didn't even care about the end of the world, because I'm like, crap, dude, at least blow us up like the normal way. Like, who wants to get slammed into?
I don't know.
It's just not right. But we stayed alive out there so far, and I was like, pretty good. I don't know, so. So, but yeah, it was interesting. We felt like we, with the world blowing up soon, in some form or another, we might as well just... come and say goodbye. It didn't seem right not to record an episode about the end of the world. Here it is, the end of the world, then we weren't happy with that, because we were like, you know what? It's just not realistic enough. We want Mad Max, and this is not how we wanted to go, but okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, the news and the media and everything is talking about this whole end of the world on December 21st, 2012. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, is it true? How can it be true? Why do people think this? I mean, here's what's funny is my mom, actually, I talked to her on the phone the other day, and she said, "Do you know anything about this December 21st end of the world thing?" And I'm like, I guess so. And she dead serious. She said, "I heard that all the electricity is going to go out, so we're going to get our propane tank filled." And I'm like, "Mom." Mom, no. See, and that goes to show you how it's reaching everyone. It's reaching people who, you know, aren't really, you know, they go on the internet, but they're not really connected as much as, you know, us young people, right?
This is true.
I'm very young. That's why I'm saying that. So what's funny, it's kind of everywhere. You know, everybody has this panic or, not, you know, different levels of panic, I guess. There are people who really honestly believe that the end of the world is coming this Friday. There are people who are like, you have to be kidding me. You know, of course this isn't going to happen. And then there are, you know, the people like us who just want to make fun of it, right?
Well, that's the kicker. It's like that's the problem. Is to me, what's it's almost infuriating because even if it was true, that's it. Like, come on, man. What happened? What about hell opening up a portal into our world and like heaven and earth destroy? You know, like at least there we feel like we're fighting the battle. At least we have a nuclear war. We can be like, oh, this is just like I was predicting in the game. But I mean, this in the end, what happens? Do we get some, you know, vortex that opens in the middle of the planet? No, we take a planet to the sternum. The Earth does, and it's just like, that's how we go. All these great stories, and this is it. This is how it's going to end. Well, that's boring.
Yeah.
It's like getting to the end of a great Star Trek Next Generation episode, and in the end you were like, oh, that's it. His visor was wrong. That doesn't make any – that's not even what you were leading me to believe. It's all a holodeck simulation. Okay, I get it. You know, it's like, come on. I want – make it nuclear. Come on.
Yeah, the good old 80s movies, everything was nuclear. I mean, what happened to that? Now we're in 2012, and you know, we have planets hitting us. What's up with that?
I know, like, if it was like nowadays, we'd have to update all the 80s stuff. So now if we have a nuclear war, we'll have Lord Humongous standing on the back of a truck with an iPad yelling, like, leave the oil, walk away, but he's talking to us via Skype. And it's like, wait, that's not the same. This is like, everything's wrong now.
Yeah, and then he's like, ooh, I just got 3 stars in Angry Birds.
You know, exactly, and he's like sending us Facebook invites to games we never play, and it's like, wait, you play that game with the fairies? It's like, the little fairies, they have to go to, like, the Tinkerbell? It's like, what the heck, man? It's like, this is not the end of the world I was preparing for.
Well, before we get into, I guess, you know, before we get into the kind of the boring research and information stuff, let's talk about what we've been up to, because it has been, you know, it's been a few months. Like I said, April is the last time we recorded, and we kind of caught everyone up on what we're up to and everything, and we won't spend, you know, as much time talking about us this time, because we do have an actual topic to talk about. But I think it would be cool just to, you know, catch people up on what we've been up to over the summer and the fall and the last few months. So why don't you go first? How's that mod coming?
Oh my gosh, the obsession. So and I was talking to Sean a little bit about this before we recorded. No joke, that is all I do. Like, for the last year and a half, and we talked about this in April, and it's funny how, I was telling Sean that if this was the 11th hour, we'd be at 11:45. And that's how close we are. We're so close I can taste it. In fact, you know, I still have this internal goal to be done by Christmas. And so I had actually taken the week off of work to be crunch time because I'm so close. And what it really comes down to is logistics. I mean, after all this time, what I've been doing is, you know, a lot of it has been spent working on the Photoshop stuff, the 3D Studio Max stuff. Well, we're past that. We're to the point now where we're plugging in all the audio, and all the pieces are there. They're just being plugged in, and in the end, everything's, you know, so far, I'm finally getting to see it all work, and it's brilliant to watch, because what I had intended at the very, very beginning of this project versus now is so light years ahead, and I, even though it's taken as long as it has, I promise it'll pay off, because I think with the radio station and the voice dialogue, I think I had figured out there was going to be like 60 hours of dialogue in some form. And the radio show is going to be the priceless part, because whereas before you'd turn on like Radio New Vegas or whatever, and there'd be like you'd have this sort of 20 or so reoccurring elements, like this one just has tons of stuff, and it sounds like it's all on the fly, and so far it just sounds great, and we're to the point now where we're about to record the last parts of the dialogue that are actually in the game. But it goes without saying, I can't wait to show everybody this, and it drives me crazy because I'm a one-man team and I can't believe I did this, but at the same time, I think if I looked at it, I would start to like scream and start to cry and blood would come out of my nose and we'd never finish. So, you know, I'm excited though to see, you know, what everybody thinks, and I told my buddy Rob at work, I just said, dude, if I get this all finished after a year and a half, and I just hand it out, and everybody's like, it broke, I'd be like, that's it, I'm out, that's it, you know, but, you know, we'll have a planet in our sternum anyway, so, but other than that, you know, it's, you know, the post-apocalyptic stuff, you know, still holds full sway. I think, funny enough, that ties into this, my obsession, my little piece away from the mod has lately been, for probably about the last 4 months, Secret World.
Oh, nice.
Which I mentioned that because not only does that refer to the end of the world in so many levels, but even the Mayan part, the whole Mayan prophecy and the fact that the Mayans are involved in, you know, without being something to recommend a game, I will tell you that of all the online games I've played, that one has been probably some of the most amazing story writing I've played in a long time. It plays into everything I like about it. But other than that, I dream in Photoshop and eat in 3D Studio Max, which is painful because polygons hurt.
They're sharp. So,
they're sharp. They hurt going down.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I actually I voted for Secret World as Game of the Year. I think we're having at Massively, we have our awards coming out a couple days. It'll probably be out by the time this comes out. But yeah, Secret World is an amazing game, and I think it does pertain, like you said, to post-apocalyptic. There are some kind of aspects and a lot of conspiracy theory stuff, which is really really interesting. So yeah, it's a great game. Let's see. As far as me, what I've been up to. Well, I think in April we talked about the farm, and we just kind of, we moved in a couple months earlier. Well, now we've been here over a year. We actually have the farm set up as a business, and it's an LLC. And so we're getting to the point. I mean, we're not profitable or anything like that, but that's essentially why I still have my job at Massively. we sell eggs to local people. We sell them at farmers markets and restaurants, one restaurant in particular. And then we sell soap. We make handmade soap, and it's not like Fight Club soap, so it's not
made out of people's fat.
Yeah, it's actually made out of pig fat, though, which is interesting.
That is cool.
It's funny. As a side note, I start making the soap with my wife, and then I'm like, oh, Fight Club was right. It does. That is whoever thought about doing that, it's like, that is actually how soap is made. That's incredible. Yeah. but anyway, yeah, it's so we're doing that. We're doing a few little things here and there. I've really gotten into the whole, kind of self-sustainable thing a lot more and more. And, anyone who's listened to this since the beginning, and we started this podcast in January of 2009. And I've always talked about that. I always talked about being self-sustainable. And then I had, we had the farm episode, right? We talked about that farm I stayed at for a while. And it's just one of those things it's so deep in me, and I have to keep going at it. I've eaten my raised and slaughtered and eaten my own first pig, which is pretty crazy. Wow. a city boy from Chicago doing this.
Dude, and, first time I did that, it's a wake up call because you don't realize there's elements to it that you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And chickens and eggs and rabbits and things like that we've been doing the whole time anyway. I've been doing that for years, chickens and rabbits. But I'm actually getting to the point now where I'm starting to get some some writing gigs on the side. And one of them is I'm going to be writing a guide to egg production, and I might also write one on chicken and rabbit production too. But there's this organic grower school that they were hiring for people to write their guides for them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm getting into a lot more than just being self-sustainable. I'm trying to make a little bit extra money on the side with writing these guides and a couple things here and there. I'm really getting into the where I live, it's Chattanooga, Tennessee. I live in Alabama, but it's right across the border from Tennessee. And the food, kind of the local food scene in this area is getting huge and huge and huge. And everyone wants organic. Everyone wants, free-range yeah. chickens. Everyone wants this stuff that's raised by small farms. They want to know who their farmer is. This is stuff that is it's an MMO to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm setting up my shop and we go to farmers markets and it's like setting up your shop in an MMO. And
true.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like, this is the kind of thing that actually, ironically enough, got me into MMOs in the first place was yeah. I read an article on EverQuest and I said, that would be amazing to set up shop and like sell your stuff, SWG and all this stuff. So anyway, this is kind of where I'm at now, and we're just, 2013, we're hoping that becomes a profitable, an actual profitable thing where we can sell more than, than we spend in feed and implements and stuff like that. So, but we're getting there, and it's a lot of fun, and we're really learning a lot, like I said, with the pig butchering and all the different things like that, we're learning quite a bit. I made a house out of pallets for my pigs, which was a lot of fun. I love doing that kind of stuff. Like, free, you get some free pallets from behind, the local grocery store, and you set them up and you make a little house out of it. And it's for the pigs. And it's just, that's the kind of stuff that I could talk about all day long. Like, it's just, it's the most amazing thing. And I actually, I don't know if anyone would be interested out there. I know that we have quite a wide variety of listeners here. But if anyone's interested in learning more about that, you know, I have a blog at my my farm website, which is whiteivyfarm.com. And then also I do a blog, which is kind of like a journal that documented from city boy to country boy. And I think I've talked about it before. It's called Decitified.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I talked about it on the last show we did. But it's just decitified.blogspot.com, and I'll put a link to it. But yeah, it's just that's basically, you know, where I talk about farm projects, where I'm building, you know, this or that. We've gotten into the whole freegan thing. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's basically, I don't want to gross anyone out, but it's basically dumpster diving. You know, where it's getting, it is amazing what you will find in dumpsters. And mm-hmm. I'm talking about stuff to feed our animals. Like, we'll go in there. There's a grocery store by our house. We'll open up the dumpster, and they have boxes and boxes of just, you know, produce and the stuff that expired like that day, and we just grab it and feed it to the pigs, you know, and it's just, it's amazing, all the free stuff you can get out there. So that's another thing we're kind of getting, you know, my wife and I are completely fascinated by, doing things as cheaply and freely, and it's like scavenging, you know, it's just, it's like a real life scavenging thing, and it's so much fun to me. So yeah, I think that's pretty much all I've been up to all summer long. It's been a pretty crazy summer. A lot of farm stuff.
Yeah, and you're how old is your child?
Oh, right. My daughter just turned one.
So it has been a year. Holy
yeah.
smokes.
And also we have another one coming in
yes.
February. So we
good
for
you, man.
We're going to have two kids that are going to be about 16 months apart. It's going to be crazy.
Well, and what's cool is all this stuff, you know, first of all, you know, you're living the dream, which is like light years ahead of half the rest of the world. But it's cool, like, I could see that, how cool it would be. I mean, everything you're doing has a self-sustainability to it. And not only that, it's like everything you're doing has a purpose, you know, whereas speaking of Fight Club, isn't this the whole thing of what he was talking about? You know, the fact that we, you know, a lot of us, we just go do our jobs because that's what we do, and yet I could see how the work you put into it, it has a specific purpose, there's a reason why you do it, and it has its own reward for it, and, you know, kudos to you, man. I mean, you broke the code on how to, I mean, I think there's those of us, like, and I put myself in that category, who are just, you know, enslaved to the system for whatever reason, but, you know, it's just one of those things where I always take my hat off to people who, you know, hey, this is what I wanted to do, and not only did I do it halfway, I freaking went all the way, and, you know, and the pieces played just right.
Well, that's the ultimate goal, of course, is to get both my wife and I working on the farm full-time, and that be our job. And in relation to that, we're also getting to the point where we're just cutting all our bills. We're trying to get, you know, we don't have any debt, but we're trying to get to, except for our mortgage, but trying to get to the point where, you know, we don't have that many bills, we don't have a lot of things to pay for, and then we can pretty much, you know, support ourselves just with the farm. And I guess going hand in hand with that is I also, you know, last time we talked, I was the editor-in-chief at Massively.com,
yeah.
And I've been doing that for 5 years. Well, probably in October, actually I think it was September, it's kind of a long story, but I stepped down to a part-time position at Massively. So
yeah.
I went from, you know, the full, more than full-time. I mean, I was working, you know, 14 hours a day, sometimes 7 days a week, doing Massively, you know, being the head guy at Massively. And I stepped down to the senior editor position because I wanted to do part-time so that I can concentrate more on the farm. And it's been incredible. It's been one of those things where, you know, I was really, really burning out. I mean, I was really just getting to the point where I was going a little crazy, you know, with this work every single day, all this work. And I just said, you know what? And I, you know, my wife and I sat down and just figured out our bills and said, you know, we can cut. We don't have to make this much money, and we can cut all this stuff and you know, cut down to the point where, you know, we can spend more time together and spend more time doing things that we enjoy, you know, that don't cost money, but you know, spending time with the family and doing farm stuff, and it's an important part to, or important point to kind of go down to part time for me, because as I'm trying to get the farm full time, there needs to be that, you know, there's still a layover there. There's still an overlap. But something had to give. And the giving was, you know, going part-time at Massively. And it's been incredible. It's been really, I don't miss the extra money. I don't miss, you know, all that stuff because it's just been incredible. And like I said, we've been doing this freegan stuff, and it's made up for it a lot. But I just love that. Like, I know a lot of people get kind of uncomfortable talking about money and, like, income and things like that. For me, it's just part of, you know, part of this goal, this ultimate goal is to get away from all that, get away from having to make a certain amount of money. I'm not saying that to, you know, be like, I don't mean any offense to people who do have, you know, a good job making a lot of money and have a lot of things, but that's just not, you know, that's kind of, getting away from that is kind of my goal. And I guess, again, it's kind of the Fight Club thing. Yeah. Although I'm not modeling my life after Fight Club, I swear.
You woke up and, like, after being, had a gun to your head, and then, like, your breakfast tasted better than ever the next day. Dude, that's so cool, though, because, I mean, you're breaking away from it for the right reasons. I mean, you're going, hey, I don't need the money because, you know, I want to spend time with the family. And, you know, how many people out there in the world are in that boat where it's like, I wish I could, I can't because I have all this. And then, you know, even if I could, you know, how much am I going to miss it? But in the end, you know, you get more money, and does it really make it better? I mean, it doesn't. It makes it harder. And, you know, you're sort of like, you're like William Wallace now. You're almost like, you know, you just want to, like, have a farm and raise a family, and you're just hoping that Longshanks doesn't attack. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's crazy. I have some, I realize that some people listening to this probably think I'm pretty insane, but I do have some pretty crazy goals that reach beyond this. Like, I want to make a windmill one day. I want to make, you know, I want to live off solar and wind power and things like that. Like, I want to go off grid.
That is so cool.
I mean, it's going to be, it's one of these things where it's, I don't know. It's, I have to take it slow. I have to research. But you can go on YouTube and you can look up wind power, you know, homemade wind power, and people are making windmills out of old car alternators and, you know, and things like that, and it's powering their entire homes, and that's the kind of thing that I watch all day long. I'm like, one day I'm going to do that. It's going to be incredible. So then when the bombs do hit, I won't even know. I'll just be like, what?
Well, see, that's going to be the kicker. We're going to have, like, the Republic of Sean, and I'll, like, just, like, you know, it'll be like our little Fallout community where, you know, you turn on the car engine and you lift up the gate, and then, you know, I can already see this. You're going to be the haven for all of these people in the wasteland that are going to, like, be, you're going to be the Mother Abigail to our Boulder, Colorado. I can tell.
That's frightening.
Yeah, I just you in the cornfield, like, playing a banjo, like, Sean, what are you doing? You can play banjo? You're like, I'm in Alabama, dude. Oh, no, that's so cool, though, man. Like, that's so cool. Like, and you're just like, it's not just one dream. I mean, you're like, screw it, I'm taking them all. You know, it's like, that's how it should be. You know, you've learned how to live the life, and, you know, it's working. That's the great part, is it's working.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the hope. Well, let's go ahead and talk about this this whole end of the world thing, then, because that's, you know, it's a pretty big deal if the world ends on Friday. But essentially what it is, I'll give kind of a basic overview, because it can get really detailed and really specific and scientific. But a lot of people are saying, the big one, there are multiple kind of predictions, but the big one is the Mayan calendar. You know, the Mayans made this calendar that reaches, it was something like almost 5,200 years, and To break it down, is they have these things called baktuns, B-A-K-T-U-N, which is supposed to be equivalent to 144,000 days, or it's roughly 394 days, or years, I mean. And I'm not just doing the math on that, I'm looking at Wikipedia. So you got these time periods that are about 394 years. And so far they've broken, their calendar breaks down these as different eras. So we are right now in the 13th baktun, the 13th era. And this is according to this this long count calendar that actually wasn't developed by the Mayans. It was developed before them, but they kind of perfected it. And so we're in the 13th era, and it's going to end, this 13th era is going to end on December 21st, 2012. Now that's where it gets crazy, because you know, you look at it and you say, okay, does that mean that the world is going to end on that day? number one, does that mean the world's going to end? Number two, how does that translate into our Gregorian calendar, in the Julian calendar, which are, you know, totally different than this long count calendar? So how does that even translate? And we'll talk about that. But also, you know, the interpretations of what their symbols and what their numbers even meant. I mean, they had 360-day years. Of course, we have 365 days in the Gregorian calendar. I mean, there's no, you know, leap year, and there's no, you know, all these different things that we have in our calendars. So what scientists did is they essentially translated. You know, it's like the way ancient texts are translated, where there might be a little bit of a loss there, a loss of translation somewhere in there. So they're translating these Mayan long count calendars and saying that if they figured it all out, if this 13th era actually does end, if it is equivalent to 144,000 days each era, it will end on December 21st, 2012. And this is something that people have figured out a long time ago. And it wasn't until the 70s, I think it was 1975, when this Frank Waters, this author, kind of brought it up and said, hey, it's coming up. It's coming up pretty soon. You know, the last era before this was in the 1600s. So here we are. You know, this is actually our era, the end of our era. So we have to pay attention to this. So then people started getting a little crazy about it. It started turning into a phenomenon in the 70s and 80s. And people were writing all kinds of books about it. I mean, there was a movie made in, 2007 called 2012. And it's just been this big thing where it's just building up. And despite the fact that there have been so many predictions of the end of the world. In fact, there have been 72 predictions for the end of the world just in the last 100 years. So it seems like almost every couple of years, someone's saying that the world is supposed to end. And it's all according to different theories. So despite this, this is supposed to be the biggest one. This is the one that, you know, for a long, long time, people have said that this is where it all points. This is where the end all points. Right here. So that's basically it. It's one of those things where, you know, you can take it or leave it. You can take the translations the way they are. You can, you know, it depends on who you listen to, what kind of calendar you follow, which scientist you follow. So it does get pretty complicated, I would say.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's interesting about this. And I, you know, when I say this, I kind of poke fun at the people at work, because there used to be a guy who worked with us who, he was just diehard with this thinking that the world was going to end because of the Mayan calendar. And one of the things I like to do, and I do it on purpose, I mean it as a parody when I do it to him, was I like to always bring the obvious logic into play. Because it's the first thing it does is make people go, wait, that did sound weird when I said that, huh? Like, one of the things I would tell him, you know, as I said, so let me get this straight. So we have the Mayan civilization, and we find a, and of course this is a parody. This isn't meaning this literally. I go, so the Mayan civilization, we find a rock, and a bunch of white people who had nothing to do with the civilization got together, looked at the rock, looked up, and went, "Yep, December 21st." And I said, "Is it just me, or does it sound a lot like that Brian Reagan line where he, you know, the guy who claims he could hear what the whales were saying, and he would hand it out like he'd hear the." And you go, here's what the whales are saying. Like, what is everybody in the room going to do? Okay, thanks, Charlie. Yeah, Charlie figured it out. Like, nobody's going to say no, because they're all shrugging, going, okay. I mean, that's kind of what it felt like, is when you get the scientists from the right, you know, from the right place saying this, you know, it doesn't dawn on anybody halfway through that maybe this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I could be wrong here. And that's the joke, is I'm just waiting for this to be a skit where at the end we find out that the Mayan who wrote this is going, what are you talking about? That was a recipe for banana cream pie. Like, where did they get this from? You know, and that's the part where, you know, the logic kicks in, because I'm kind of going, that's reaching. That's like looking at a skeleton of a dinosaur and telling me what he would constantly eat. And when you hear that, you're like, really? That's wow. I'll take your word for it, but that's a jump. You know?
Yeah. It is pretty incredible. Because no one really knows why this era ends at this time. I mean, like I mentioned, it's not a science to to actually figure out specifically that this means December 21st, 2012. But a lot of, right. I mean, it depends on where you your beginning point is. That's the big thing, because it's not, it's an accumulation of time, and where that accumulation of time begins kind of, you know, dictates everything here. I mean, there are even people who are like, yes, the end of the world is going to be on the 21st or the 23rd. Like, they don't know, you know, exactly. It depends on, you know, there was these old the calendars themselves that they found were, you know, these, I guess, these tablets, and you know, there could have been a scratch over, you know, the last 2,000 years since it's
exactly.
been sitting there, and they're like, oh, is that a 9 or a 10? I don't know. So I mean, it gets kind of iffy with that. But not only that, you know, you look at the interpretation of it itself. You look at what this even means. The Mayans didn't have any kind of apocalyptic theory, you know, to this. They didn't, and this is, you know, what I've been reading a lot, is they didn't say this is when the world's going to end. They just had this calendar that ended at that date. You know, they were saying, I mean, maybe they ran out of clay, you know? I mean, maybe they just,
yeah.
I mean, because they were literally predicting, it was something like, I think it's like 5,100 years, it's almost 5,200 years, I think, from where they believed everything began. So where they believed everything began, you know, they just made this calendar for 5,000 years, and they're just like, nobody's ever going to, like, we're not going to be around in 5,000 years, so who cares what the end date is? You know, we're just going to make it up to here, and then that's it. So here we are, 5,000 years later, and we're the ones looking at it going, what does it mean? It's so, you know, what does this mean? And we're trying to find a meaning to it, and I just have a feeling that there was just, you know, this Mayan guy who maybe he, you know, he was in charge of making the calendars, and he was just like, you know what, like, he retired that day maybe, and he didn't want to make any more, and, you know, he's just like, I'm done making this thing, like, you know, nobody's ever going to find these. And so I just think it's funny that I wish I could know, you know, what was going on when they made these calendars versus...
Well, that's it.
It's,
we don't know. We don't know the. It could be the Monty Python. Maybe he died while writing it. That's
exactly.
And that's the thing. I mean, the Mayan civilization, for the most part, I mean, look at what happened to them. And it's, I mean, this thing's just begging for it to kind of be parodied. It's that Red Dwarf thing where, you know, the cat race and Red Dwarf, they all destroyed each other in a holy war because Lister had a laundry list with only 3 socks on it or something, you know, and it's like, wait, that was my laundry list. What, are they killed each other on my laundry list, you know? And if you think about it, like, even just the logic of it, I mean, the Mayan civilization, to them, the way I believe it is that it was, like you said, it was the end of a calendar. It was like our December 31st. And what do we do when we finish a calendar? We start a new one. Yeah. And to them, that's, they were, for the most part, from everything we know about them, they did believe a lot in a form of renewal. And maybe that's what they believed, is that it was a time of renewal, like, you know, just on a completely different level than ours. But we sure do love our death, don't we?
Yeah.
We love to have it be intense. You know, we live in a world where if there's not drama, by God, we're going to create it. Because if that wasn't true, why would we have The Bachelorette? We love to watch destruction in every form we can find. You know, there's a reason post-apocalyptic genre is so alluring, because we're watching people at survival at the fittest and surviving these odds, because, I don't know, there's something about that entrenched in who we are.
Yeah, it's very true. It's you know, every generation wants to think that they are in, you know, in the end times. And maybe not everybody in that generation, but there's just every generation it just happens where someone's like, yeah, this is it. And it's funny because Wikipedia actually has this long list of the dates. I mean, it's literally called List of Dates Predicted for Apocalyptic Events.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up on Wikipedia. It's really, really entertaining. I mean, all the way back, it calls it failed predictions. All the way back to 634 BC, the Romans were predicting the end of the world. I mean, they were saying, yep, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be next year. And you go down this list, and this is where I got that number that there are 72 prediction dates just within the last 100 years. But you go down this list, and it's amazing. I mean, a lot of these I've heard of, you know, Jim Jones, we've heard of. Pat Robertson, he has predicted the end of the world at least 2 times I can see on here, which is funny. In 1982, he said that was going to be the end of the world. And then he said again, I think, 2007. And then, of course, you have you know, Y2K. That's the big one. Everybody, you have this, there's this list here, probably 15 people, including Isaac Newton, who said that the world would end in the year 2000. And, you know, we everybody got prepared for it. Everybody, you know, they said the computers were going to go crazy, and it was, you know, all computers were going to stop working, and it was going to be the Y2K bug. And there's this this article that I read on NASA's website from this guy E.C. Krupp, and he says, I don't remember the exact words. He says something about how the only thing that happened in 2000 was essentially ski lift passes were printing the date as 1900. Like that, you know, he's kind of making fun of the fact that it's just that's it. You know, old computers, old, you know, Apples thought that it was, you know, 1962 or something. I mean, it's just, it's like throwing out these crazy dates, but that's it. And, you know, that was supposed to be it. That was supposed to be the big one, and it didn't happen. And it's, what's kind of ironic about that, I guess, is that we're getting pretty calloused by this. I mean, there are a lot of us who still believe, you know, wholeheartedly, like, yeah, this could be it. And it's good to be prepared, but we are getting a little callous. You know, it's the boy who cried wolf at this point. And a lot of us look at this and we say, it's not going to happen. You know, somebody on the news says that, you know, in 15 years the world's going to end. Who cares? You know, it's not really going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. Hundreds and hundreds of predictions hasn't happened. In the Bible, it actually, there are several places in the Bible where it says that the end of the world will come like a thief in the night. Where they're saying that You won't know when it happens. You won't be. You can't expect it to happen, you know, because then it won't happen. So it's almost like it's like this weird irony that if we expect it enough and then we become callous by it, we'll stop expecting it and then it'll happen. You know, it's like
yeah, and that's very prominent in a lot of like Christian belief because you know here I am in Utah. You know that's built into a lot of it too. Is the idea that you know that if there you know those of you who are Christians, you know there's this belief that you know Jesus would return and that the idea that that would be at a time when you would least expect, and the reason for it being that you know if I don't know if it's for a lot of I'm sure it's for a lot of reasons. One of them, my understanding is because you know there's this joke that somebody I knew in Detroit used to talk about. He would always talk about deathbed repentance. That if you knew the day you were going to die, you'd make sure you were, you know, watching your six the entire time. You'd act perfect because you knew that moment was coming. And it's when you're, you know, not being watched and you're acting normal that your true character is going to come out. And so I always believed that kind of came from that, the idea that this not knowing is partially because that would be the case. You're going to see people at their true nature because they're not sure when. If you and that's what another reason why the Mayan thing, it's like it's too perfect. You know, it's like it's one of those things where if you do believe in the Christian side that there would be this event, that I would believe that it would probably be something where it would be when we least expected it, because you know it would depend on where your beliefs are rooted in and why the event would happen in the first place. And it even things that are like, you know, I'm sure we're probably getting into this momentarily, but even things that are from a you know astronomy nature, you know, whether you're the planets and events, supernova type things, you know, there's also that flaw there that we can't predict that. We can say this planet's about to blow up, but that could be 100,000 years, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't know that, and that's why whenever somebody nails that exact date down, I'm like, so wait, let me get this straight. Nobody knew when Old Republic was going to get released, but we know when the world's going to end. Like we couldn't get a date exactly when it's done, you know, but the world's going to blow up on the 21st. You know, it's like, now, wait a minute, hold on. And then what happened to Old Republic? But you know, here's what, so that leads me to believe. Yeah. So you see where the logic kind of comes full circle. Yes.
Yeah, I can. So you're saying the world's going to go free to play? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know the world is. Well, you're proving that. You are the Farmville of the real world, except before that they got commercialized. You know, and that's the kicker. You're proving. Yeah, we're all, of course we're saying this from a bunker. So what are we? We're hypocrites. I don't know. It's like,
and you know what's funny too is the different ways that people are predicting that the world's going to end. I mean, everything from they're saying that a giant planet is going to. They're saying like a Pluto size planet is kind of out there waiting to hit us. And, you know, it's been approaching and it's supposed to hit us. And that's how it's going to end. Kind of like a, you know, Armageddon asteroid kind of scenario. Bruce Willis can't save us, I don't think. But so, I mean, that's one of the theories. There's also the magnetic poles are going to switch, which would just cause all kinds of problems.
Isn't that ultimately what was happening in the movie 2012? Like, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it something like the plates shifted, and so, or was it just the plate shift, or was it because of the poles that it happened that way? Like the poles, like magnetically changed, and so that's what started ripping the plates of the Earth apart, or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what. It's been so long since I saw that movie, but I think you're right. I think that's.
I'm like, better off dead. I get it now. Better off dead. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Oh, well. John Cusack.
I was just lame. Why did I even say that?
But yeah, I think that's another prediction. They actually named the planet that's supposed to come. It starts with an N. I forgot what it is. But
yeah, it's like Nibiru.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, sounds an awful lot like the planet in the part of Mist Online with the mushrooms. That's the book that, you know, where the mushrooms were.
Oh.
And somebody out there is going, he didn't play Myst Online.
What were some of the other ones? I mean, I know there were the switched poles, there's the planet coming, there was supposed to be like a solar flare.
Yeah, there was a solar flare. Somebody had tagged that there was a solar flare out near the, where was it? It was out near the Pleiades or something like that. Anyways, yeah, the idea was that the solar flare was going to hit us at this particular time, and somebody from NASA debunked it and basically said there's no way in heck we could time it like that. I mean, it's a planet that could die, but not anytime soon.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting how, again, here we go with the Mayan beliefs. Like, I'm also one of those types of people that tries to kind of stop and go, okay, but listen to what we're saying from the point of view of modern people versus what the Mayans at time believed, and here we are putting it through a lot of filters that are real life filters for us. But it's like, but the Mayans, why would they say that? Where would they be coming from? Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of the fact that their beliefs were so much in the afterlife and things, the world beyond, and the fact that, you know, they looked up at the stars and, I think before we talked about that movie, The Fountain, with Rachel Weisz and Hugh Jackman, and the fact that the Mayans believed that they would be taken to this afterlife called Xibalba. And it's funny because I'm always kind of stopping and going, you know, why would the Mayan would be talking about this calendar if he really believed in that kind of, you know, if it was believed to be that kind of an ending? It just doesn't seem like something that would fit into their beliefs, nor would they be necessarily. I don't know. I just don't see them like looking at it the same way we're looking at it as such an ending. They would be more apt to look at it like a rebirth of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that sounded way more philosophical than I meant for it to. Did that sound stupid? Not like it's weird because I'm not used to like doing the philosophy. I'm used to just kind of going like I'll just look at a cheap book, you know. Like,
no, it makes sense though. It's like it's their philosophy for rebirth, not the end of days, and that's. That's what we're all talking about, you know. We're kind of all fixated on that, and you know, it's a good thing, you know, for this podcast. That's what this podcast is about. But I think that's the thing, and that's kind of the main point of all this is that the Mayans didn't say this is when the world is going to end. It's the Mayans left some calendars around. You know, Europeans picked it up and said, hey, I think that means it's going to be the end of the world. So, and, you know, and then a lot of people kind of capitalized on that and wrote books about it and, you know, made cults based on it and things like that. So it's, I don't know, I think it's been blown out of proportion. I mean, you can tell just our whole demeanor during this podcast is we're very skeptical of this. You know, we're both very, very much saying this isn't something we believe. But that's not to say that, you know, if December 21st, you know, this Friday happens and all of a sudden, you know, the poles are shifting and, you know, and John Cusack comes by in a car and, you know, it saves me, then I'm going to be like, wait a minute, you know, I guess, you know, in my face, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's your idea. Is I always believed if something like that was going to happen, you know, I'd rather just know at the time and just be like, well, doggone. You know, I don't want to be like the people in that movie Knowing who just kind of stood there like afraid, waiting for the end to finally come. I want to be the guy who sees the flames coming towards me like the Nexus on Star Trek. And right at that moment, I flip up my hands and go, oh, Doyle rules or something like that. You know, just go with style. If you're going to go, yeah. You know, go with the style. But I don't know. It's just... It's like I said, I think we as humans, I think for whatever reason, and there's a thousand different psychological reasons people might have, but, you know, we do. We love our secrets. We love our conspiracies. We love to think that, you know, look at all the hubbub that happened with, you know, Area 51 and Roswell, and it's like all the, you know, released files, and look at, you know, we even had shows on TV with Jonathan Frakes, you know, talking about this alien autopsy, and I was just slamming my head against the wall going, oh, please, people, let's not fall into the black too quickly here. But I don't know, maybe it's our way of sort of trying to find order in the middle of chaos, because... Mm-hmm. I will say that my beliefs, and I don't usually go into this, you know, I do believe for my own reasons that, you know, you watch the world out there and it's winding up. And if you believe in a last days, even from a Christian point of view, there's definitely a lot of things out there that look like it could be that. Yeah. But then again, there's somebody out there who could be like, you know what, you look back at this civilization who just got wiped out 1,000 years ago and they're probably thinking that too, you know, and it's like, yeah but they didn't have Twitter. and maybe that's the problem. Maybe we have too much information, and that's the danger.
Yeah, we're talking about kind of a belief system thing, and that's not really something I want to get into as far as, you know, religious beliefs. But I think that if you look at, from an analytical point of view, if you look at the last book of the Bible, Revelation, there's a lot of stuff in there that actually, you know, some people have even interpreted that to mean that to point towards December 21st. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, odd as well. So a lot of people point to that also as, you know, something that points to December 21st. So it's like no matter which way you take it, it's still, you know, people can interpret it any way they want. But in Revelation, it talks about some pretty crazy stuff. I mean, that, you know, if we did this show regularly, we should maybe do a show on that, because that would be a whole different thing. But, you know, they talk about fire and dragons coming down from the, you know, from the sky, and it's one of those things where you could interpret that to mean whatever you want. You could interpret dragons to mean nuclear, you know, Holocaust, and so it's kind of crazy to think about all the things that throughout history, thousands and thousands of years, have talked about the end of the world. I mean, people have always been fascinated with that, and that's kind of my point, is, you know, even in the Bible, the last book of the Bible, they're fascinated with the end of the world and how it's going to happen and what's going to happen. And this is why I think as humans, you know, we are fascinated by that. We're fascinated by not only how it's going to happen, but when, and that's the big thing, and also what's going to happen afterwards. You know, are we going to be wearing, you know, spike shoulder pad armor, or are we going to, you know, all be gone? And it's just not knowing, you know, something like that, not knowing what's going to happen is so fascinating to us as humans, so we have to just fill in the blanks. It's kind of like when you look at a picture, or actually, when you look at the clouds, and there's a pattern there. Humans will always see a face. You know, your brain will align shadows in the clouds to look like eyes, nose, and a mouth. It's a human thing that it's a natural thing that humans do. And I think it's the same thing with this. You know, we fill in the blanks and we create these types of situations where it's like, this is going to be what's going to happen. Since we don't know, we have to, as humans, figure it out, you know, and kind of philosophize and make theories and, you know, and those kind of things. So it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating to me.
Well, and that's the kicker. One thing that is good about it, I mean, it shows that we, especially in modern days, we have such wonderful imaginations, because, you know, and before, you know, in the times in the past, you know, either, you know, innovation was frowned upon, or maybe they, you know, at the time, maybe they just didn't have enough to be able to really run with it, but they did in their own way. But nowadays we have, you know, anything from televisions, movies, games, books, and we have such wonderful imaginations. Like you said, we'll look up at the moon and see what we want to see, and, you know, and that, you know, read the book of Revelations, and we come up with our own things. And I'm one of those who's like, you know, I do get a kick out of the symbolism, because you wonder, okay, what was the person at the time thinking? Because, you know, you know, two-headed beast that will envelop the world. I'm like, have you seen Lady Gaga lately? But I mean, and it could be something. There's always that amusement that it could be something completely off the wall that just happened to make it in the Bible. Like we find out that John the Revelator just happened to walk into a field of poppies that day, and like Wizard of Oz just fell asleep and had a trip, you know. And oh my God, if my dad heard that, he'd be like, no, I don't have any son anymore. but that's the thing. I do think that's cool that we have such an imagination that we kind of run with this, and we, you know, we believe that there would be an alien invasion on the 21st because X-Files said so, you know, and yet there's people out there that would believe that. I also understand, it was funny, I don't know if you caught this on the wiki, that one of the things they were touching on that I did not know was the idea that, you know, mainland China, a lot of people there kind of ran with the 2012 idea because of the movie 2012, and it was the idea that they were the ones who were creating the arcs, and it must have spurred some interest in what that was to begin with. But I guess some of the panic over there, somebody's actually attributing it to the movie being part of that reason, which is fascinating. I don't know. It's we do love to get scared, I think. So
yeah. Well, I think we pretty much beat that one to death. You know, the main thing we wanted to get across was just, we wanted to get this show out for this date, because it's such a, you know, people have been waiting almost 400 years for this date. So it's just one of those things where it's, you know, I thought it would be kind of fun to do a show. And actually, Doug Morris, I got to give a shout out to Doug Morris. And we don't think it's any relation to Jonathan, right?
I don't think so. Although, you know, it could be, we could find out that we were actually like, we were both like, came out of the vault at the same time. I don't know.
Maybe we
just got switched name tags or something.
Out of the Morris vault.
Right? Yeah. Vault 32.
So Doug Morris suggested this topic on our Facebook page, which I think you should follow. If you're not already following our Facebook page and you're on Facebook, you should definitely follow it, because we still talk on there. A lot of people will throw out some topic ideas, like, hey, has anybody read this book or seen this movie or played this game? And people will talk about it a little bit. It's kind of like a mini forum, which is one of the best things that Facebook is good for, other than finding old high school people who you hate. I think that's another thing that is always fun.
That's true. Well, actually, here, for this whole episode, here's your thought for the day. You were mentioning we beat this like a dead horse. Here's your thought. Did we actually destroy it, or is it now reborn because of this episode? Oh, the Sean Schuster prophecy. there's somebody out there who's like, you know, I listened to the show, and in the end, I'm more confused than I was in the beginning. I'm like, that's okay, so are we. I think that's the ultimate goal at the end is, yeah, we don't know either. It's like, here's what the whales are saying. I don't know.
Yeah. And you know, the planets were supposed to align for this Friday, and NASA's like, no, that's actually something we can predict, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. It could have happened, and last time it did happen is when the Dark Crystal broke, and that got fixed in the end by the little Muppet who looked just like Steven Tyler. So somebody out there is like, he did look like Steven Tyler.
I was like that just now.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, if you want to follow us, like I said, Facebook page is a great place to talk with other listeners. I don't really do much with our Twitter anymore. I actually just remembered about it right now when I said that, so I don't really do much with it. But Facebook is pretty much the place to go. Now you can still go to throughtheaftermath.com, and you can still see all of our old show notes, and you can download each episode. You got that name, didn't you?
Yep, actually, it worked out well, because if you guys remember, like, a while back, we lost the .com, and I actually kind of quietly watched and jumped onto it like a leopard. So,
awesome.
And as soon as it was ready, I just grabbed it, and funny enough, I didn't think it was going to work, and it did. So we now have the .com again, which is, and you'll see some evolution here. I'm actually going to be changing up a few things as we get on the edge of the, the mod releasing, which, in my opinion, is when the world's going to end, because really, I mean, I'm going to be done with it.
Because that's taken about 400 years, right?
Yeah, so I know. Well, and that's the thing is, much like the calendar, it never quite feels finished, and yeah. it feels like it's going to be translated by a bunch of guys out of Oxford. I don't know. They'd be like, this man had problems.
See, in 5,000 years from now, somebody's going to look back at the mod, and when it's finally done, they're going to figure it out. They're going to say, well, it took him, 2 years to make the mod. So then, if we divide that by this, and blah, 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 and then they'll predict the end of the world based on that.
They're going to be like, Frank, I think I found another Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm like, oh, don't, sir. It wasn't my fault, the mod. Oh, no. The textures were bad by then. But, yeah. Wow, how did that happen? How did I go there? Well, we've decided, though, me and Sean had decided that perhaps with the world ending, that rather than be known as Through the Aftermath, we would be now Through the Afterlife, seeing as we all will be taking the walk from Shivalba here as the as this giant planet, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is it getting even closer? Yeah, me and Sean are looking out through this bunker window again, and I'm noticing that it almost seems like it's right on top of us.
Yeah, literally. It's right. It's I can reach out and grab it, I think.
You almost could. You know, we better wrap this up. I think we're all about to die.
All right. Well, so everybody, if you can't listen to this, it's because the world ended, and none of this will matter anyway. But if you can listen to this, then we hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed our rambling on about the end of the world. And hopefully, we'll be able to do this again. You know, there's not in another 400 years. We'll try to do it before then. But every once in a while here. It's fun to just, throw up some topics and get together.
It's not so much we will, it's May. It's like a Mayan prophecy. Like Mayan.
Oh, Mayan.
Oh, see what I did there? Dude, that's like 3 and 5 minutes. Now we are going to die.
It says that in Revelation, too, I think.
I'm the two-headed monster.
All right, everyone. So if you want to reach out to us, we still have the email address, ttaftermath@gmail.com. You can send an email there. You can also, we definitely encourage, like I said, the discussion on the Facebook page and also on throughtheaftermath.com. This show will be there with the comments and everything. So we encourage you to comment on there. But if you just want to send us love letters, you can do that at ttaftermath@gmail.com.
That's true. if we're all alive to do it, so stay tuned after the credits. We'll see if we died.
That's right. That's when it happens.
That's all right. What happens.
Thanks, everyone.
Stay alive out there. Well, for another 10 minutes. Oh, I think, yep. No, it's still getting closer. It's moving faster.
Oh, no.
It's almost done. Hey, it's getting smaller.
Hey.
Wait a second. That's not a planet.
What is that?
That's a tennis ball attached to a string. Those Raiders, those freaking Raiders outside put hey!
Oh.
You know what? That's it. I'm going to get you guys and stop laughing. Stop it. That wasn't funny. We did a whole episode because of a tennis ball and a string.
That's all it was.
There's an analogy here, I think. Huh.